So glad you're here tonight. It's Hour of Power. Praise the Lord. Yeah, glory to God. So I know what that means. I know that means I only have a certain amount of time here. So with a title as big as the one that I've got tonight, Years, Tears, and Fears, Overcoming Three Obstacles by Walking by Faith, we may not have time to get through all of it. But if we don't, we'll just be led. How about that? Well, that was weak. I'm going to say that again. We'll start over. How about we just be led? Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, a lot of times when, sometimes people ask me, students have asked me, I just got finished. This was my first year getting the privilege to teach at Rhema. And man, what an honor. Yeah. Somebody said, whew, wonder if that was my mom. She was in my first year class. And so, yeah, I said, the tables have turned, Mom. All those times where you grounded me and you were in control of how late I stayed up. And well, now I'm in control of your grade. Somebody said my jokes were older than my granny's foot and twice as corny. Shame on you for laughing at that. Praise the Lord. After finishing my first year here, what an honor it's been to be a part of Rhema Bible Church again. And we've been out in ministry for a number of years. Since we left Rhema, we went directly into ministry, into full-time ministry. And just been such an honor to be back here and to be teaching and be here with you guys. Always been a part of the Rhema family, always came back every year. But to be here now at this time, doing what all of us are getting to do is such a privilege. And so sometimes it's a little overwhelming because, I'd love to be up here telling you I was an overnight success, that, there I was and I just, every lockstep with the Lord every step of the way, never wavered, never vacillated, and, but I'd be repenting later for lying. When I'm preparing for messages, I've had students ask me this before, what do I do? Oftentimes, the Lord, just in a quiet time, will just drop a word or just a few words. You don't need very many words if you can say light be and just create all that he did. You don't need a bunch of words. But the words that I heard were years, tears, and fears. And I knew the Lord was speaking to me, and so I just started praying that out. Years, tears, and fears. And so I started praying it out and I started looking it up and running reference on it. And that's why I said, I've got plenty to talk about for all three, but I just don't know that we'll be able to talk about all of it. So we're going to start in Mark 11 tonight, which is a good place to start here, right? Mark 11, if you'll open your Bibles to that, or you can check it out on the screen. But a lot has changed since I was here 20 years ago as a student. But that's a good thing. Amen? Because things that don't change are dead.
That's right.
Woo, brother! Things that don't change are dead. Live things change. They're right? And so things have changed over the years, but I can remember being here as a student and, the first, the student revival, I was in the back of this room. And just back there on that side, as a matter of fact, and I don't remember who was teaching now, but they got real preachy. And man, this place blew up. Folks were just excited and running, and I got out of here after that was our first day of student revival. I got out of here and I called my parents. I said, I am in the right place. These are my people. Glory to God. But I was bright-eyed and wide-eyed, and I was, I was thinking, I'm going to leave here, I'm going to train up, and I'm going to go. And in my mind somehow, I don't know, it wasn't the Bible that gave me this idea, but I somehow had the idea that I wasn't ever going to have any problems or any difficulties. But man, I'm, 20 years older and almost 20 pounds. Stop judging me. I see that. These are not the pants I was wearing when I was here. But over time, I've seen people in pastoring churches and in my own life, how the enemy will get us off track or bring obstacles in our way. And these things that I'm going to talk to you about tonight are just some of the obstacles. There are others, but years, tears, and fears. And so the scripture in Mark 11 says this. It says, "So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, what things soever you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them.'" So when we read that scripture and we get very excited about it, because, you know, we can, it's almost like a formula. You know, you could say it's kind of like a formula. If you'll believe and you'll speak, you'll receive. But in any formula, there are variables. And between your believing and your receiving, what we place in that in-between time is going to make all the difference. And you know, just because I'm for you and just because your seat neighbor is for you is no indication that the devil is for you. He ain't. And he will use things, he'll try to put obstacles in our way to try to keep us from receiving whatever it is that we're believing for. And that thing could be fulfilling the will of God, whatever it is he's called us to do. It could be receiving healing in our bodies. It could be receiving some type of provision to pay our bills. It could be receiving that mate that we so desperately desire. And sometimes what we do is in that time, the enemy will bring things into our lives. You know, Pastor Zach said this on Sunday morning. He was talking about lots of times people will settle. He was talking about doors, and he said people will settle. And I just thought about that, and I was like, you know, some people want Mr. Right, but they'll take Mr. Right now because they don't want to wait. Or Mrs. Right, they'll take Mrs. Right now. They'll settle for things. Why? Because this first point that I'm making this evening is because of years. Because of time. Time can be our enemy if we'll allow it. And the devil will see to it that time feels like it's dragging on. And sometimes we're believing God for things. And when I said a while ago to you, I said, you know, I wish I could stand up here and say I was an overnight success. But there are a lot of miles between where I am today and how I got here. When you see somebody who you think is an overnight success, just understand there was some time that elapsed between where they are and where they started from. Sometimes in that time, we find that there are things that the enemy will throw into our lives that will get us off track or get us off course. Sometimes it's just preparation time where God is trying to do something in our lives, and we need to be able to discern the difference. And, you know, we're not rebuking or saying, "Get behind me, Satan," when God was just preparing us. I remember being out here just outside the west doors, the little hills that are right out here, you know, where there are no trees or there are no mountains here. I said, the faith people moved them, only hills. But these little hills that are out here, those mounds, I was walking around praying as a student, and that's where the Lord spoke to me and said I would be back here one day. And that was in 2005. And in my lightning fast mind, I thought that probably means 2006. But really, I had nothing to offer that would have been beneficial at that time because there were some things that I needed to do in order to prepare. I was thinking about that today, and I was thinking about how when I was a kid, I used to play. Anybody in here old enough to remember Nintendo 8-bit system? Anybody know what 007-373-5963 is? That's the code on Mike Tyson's Punch-Out to go directly to Mike Tyson. Somebody gave me that code one time, and I put that in, 007-373-5963, start. And I want you to know, Mike Tyson cleaned my 12-year-old clock in that video game. And the reason he did was because I was not prepared for the fight that I was facing. I had to do some things to prepare in order to get there. And that's why in that game there were so many other people that you fought before him. If you ever played that game. If you didn't, well, you know, I hope you enjoyed your Atari. Sorry. This scripture makes it. I know I shouldn't have said that. I'm looking at my wife for, you know, that loving glance, and I didn't get it. So this scripture makes it pretty plain that if we have faith and we doubt, that we can speak to obstacles, and those things that we say will move the mountains out of our way. But sometimes there is some preparation going on, and the reason that we're not moving forward is because we're preparing for the next thing. Years, the problem with that is if we don't recognize that sometimes God is preparing us rather than the devil hindering us, we'll try to get out ahead of God. And we've all heard this before. Brother Hagin used to say, I'd rather be two steps behind God than two steps ahead of Him. Why? Because if you're two steps ahead of God, you're leading. And how many of you know we don't know everything? Isn't that right? But if we don't understand during this time, the devil will play whaley with our minds, convincing us that somehow we're missing it in that time. But it could be that we're preparing for the next thing that God's got for us. And the reason that this is so important is because we don't want to rush ourselves between our believing and our receiving. We want to get our confession right, but all of a sudden, if time elapses, we start saying the wrong things and we put ourselves on hold. Someone said this one time. They said there's two ways to the top of an oak tree. You can climb it or you can sit on an acorn for a real long time. During the time that's elapsing between us believing and us receiving, what we put in the middle is going to make all the difference. And during that time, if we begin to doubt, we begin to waver because we're not seeing things to come coming to pass, we begin to blame it all on the devil. If we're not doing something or being active during that time, we can end up stalling ourselves and never receiving the thing that God has for us. Just sitting around killing time won't bring us any benefit at all. It's the preparation that we do and knowing the seasons that we're in. Is this a season of preparation? Am I preparing for something? Am I doing something right now in order to get me where I'm going? Because if I'm not, there's a good chance that I could be murmuring or complaining or questioning whether or not God's word is true. I've had that happen as a pastor where people are like, well, I guess since it didn't happen as quickly as I thought that it would, I guess maybe, you know, that's not for me. Or, you know, God doesn't meet needs like that. Or maybe... maybe somehow, some way, I missed it here. You know, it's not God's will for me. Well, maybe it's just preparation time. Maybe, depending on what it is, I mean, anything that Jesus paid for on our behalf is ours now. Meaning this, you don't have to die sick waiting for healing. Amen. Anything that was purchased through the atonement that belongs to us. Now, there are some things like finances where people can get involved. It might not be the devil. It could be people. Because people have to get lined up. You want me to tell a story on somebody? On you or me? When I was a student, I remember this place is like a... It's like a track, really, the halls here. If you're watching online and you've never been here, get here for camp meeting. We'll run the halls together. This place is really big. And when I came here, we had three kids. And the children were upstairs. The nursery was over here. And so we had one kid over here, one kid over here. We went to the school of the Bible, you know, on Sunday mornings, 9 a.m., It's a good plug right there, wasn't it? We went to school of the Bible. The kids went this way. We all went our separate ways, but we would get out of our car and we had this stroller. One of those at the time was a fancy stroller where you could just take your car seat, you could pop it out and you could put it on that stroller and boy, you were, I mean, lightning fast. Yeah. Well, we had some friends that were here at the same time and they didn't have one of those strollers and I would watch them carrying their diaper bag and their Bibles and their car seat and all that stuff, lugging it around. And the Lord laid it on our hearts to buy them a stroller like ours. And I fully intended to do it. But I don't know what happened. Life, the devil, incredible pizza. I don't know. I blew the money. I don't know what it was. But it wasn't last week. Don't look at me like that. It's a long time ago. But I blew it. We spent the money on something else, and I didn't get that stroller. And for several months, I had to watch those people walk around lugging all of that stuff. And I told the Lord, I missed it. Time was elapsing, and I was dragging on. I should have done something. When the Lord speaks to our hearts, and you know definitively that the Lord has spoken to your heart, act quickly, because somebody could be waiting on your obedience. And so I told my wife, I'm like, man, we messed up here. I'm going to totally take the blame. She didn't. She was probably saying, I told you. Yeah, she's shaking her head. Yes. Now I got a knowing glance. Wow. So I said, Lord, I'm sorry. If you'll get that money back to me, I'll make it right. And the money did come in, and I drove all over. The other day we were in, what was that little town? I don't remember what town it was, but I spotted the Big Lots that I drove way out of my way to find this Big Lots. I'm like, there's the Big Lots where I bought that stroller 20 years ago. But I found the stroller that I could afford, and I took it, and I put it in my car, and I went to school the following Monday. I bought it on a Sunday between church services because I was at the morning service, and then I served in the evening service, so I went and I picked it up in between. Monday at school, I found the guy, and I said, hey, after class, could you come with me? I want to give you something. And so we went outside after class. I stayed for all three classes, students. Okay, just making sure we're clear on that, too, while I got the platform. We went out on the parking lot, and I opened the door, and I pulled it out of the car, and immediately this guy tears up. And I said, man, the Lord laid this on my heart, and we just wanted to give this to you to be a blessing. And he said, man, he said, you don't know what a blessing this is. He said, about 3 or 4 months ago, my wife was talking about us carrying all this stuff around. And she said, I want to get one of those strollers like these other folks have. And he said, well, we can't afford that right now. And he said, if we're going to get that, we're going to have to believe God for it. And so they prayed together. And I let 4 months lapse. And I admitted it to the guy. I said, brother, he said about 4 months ago, I said, brother, that's when the Lord told me about it. And then we both cried. We have a part to play sometimes. Sometimes in the years, we're hindering somebody else's faith because they're believing God. They've asked God, and God is dispatching us because we have the ability. And if we're dragging our heels, and you may not think like that, you might think that's not a big deal unless you've ever been the other one that's been believing God and waiting for the manifestation of those things that you've prayed for. Isn't that right? And what the enemy will do then is during that time, as time is passing, he'll start trying to convince us that somehow God's word's not true, that somehow it's on God's end, that it's his fault. So you see how years can be an obstacle to our faith. That time can elapse and it can become an obstacle. Yeah, we're not going to get through all of this. Are you okay with that? You want to stay late? No, I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. The question is, does time negate the word of God? No matter if somebody has made you wait because they were not obedient, no matter if the enemy has brought up obstacles, no matter if time is elapsing because you're preparing, time is not our enemy. We can still stay in faith. No matter how much time elapses, is God's word not true because a clock on the wall says that time is elapsing? Man, you'd think with an ear as big as mine. Now, see, y'all laughed about that too. I'm telling you. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. Oh, glory to God. As we're going along in life, oftentimes we're encountering moments when it just seems like time's working against us. We might face delays and setbacks and unanswered prayers. But just because time's elapsing doesn't mean that God's not working to perform things on our behalf. Just recently on Mother's Day, I decided that I like to bake, I like to cook, things like that. Really, my wife hit the jackpot. I'm kidding, girl. I did. Reverse that. Like an Uno reverse card. But I like to bake, and recently I was capturing my own yeast to make bread. I don't know if any of you have ever done that. It's a fun process. But it had been a while since I had done it, and so I made up my jar of mother dough. And I did it on Mother's Day, deliberately, so I would never forget the date. You know, and in my mind, I've got all these romantic ideas about how next Mother's Day, I'm going to make my girl some bread, you know, that kind of stuff. But it doesn't take very long for yeast inside there to start bubbling, and you know that it's reacting. And I had watched some videos to kind of get myself polished up on how to do it. And the time that was supposed to elapse, nothing was happening. And I was getting ready to dump it out, figuring, well, I guess it didn't work. And I went online and I watched a quick video. And this lady, smiling real big, sitting there with a beautiful loaf of sourdough bread, she said, "Now don't get discouraged. If it doesn't work in the first 24 hours, she said, "Sometimes you got to give it a little more time." You know, I didn't know that lady from Eve. But I took what she said and I thought, I'm going to leave that on the counter for just a little while longer. Well, pretty soon, about a day and a half later, all of a sudden it's bubbling up and stuff. And Sarah and I had bread the other night that I made with my mother dough. But what I'm saying to you is this: if I'll take that lady's word that I don't know, why would I allow time to get me knocked off of believing God and His word? Because just because I can't see it on the surface, there's something bubbling underneath. God's word is true, and no matter what it looks like today, He's going to bring us through if He said He'll bring us through. Oh, glory to God. If He said that by Jesus' stripes we are healed, just because you don't feel healed, just because you don't look healed, does not mean you ain't healed. He said it, you believe it, that settles it. And if it takes me a little while to get myself in gear and get figured out so that the manifestation of what I'm believing for comes, what I do in that time, I can either let it be my enemy, or I can say, you know what, I'm going to believe God in the middle of this until... Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The question we need to ask ourselves when it comes to years is, how would we act if we had what we were believing for? If God's word is true and He's made promises to us in His word, if it's true, how would we act? I was talking to a friend the other day, and they were talking about having a business, that was their heart's desire. They were believing God for that, felt like that was the next phase in their life. And I asked them what they had done to prepare for the next step. What if the next thing that God has called you to, you know, what if you know, let's just say marriage, we'll pick that. What if... the desire of your heart is to be married. You know that God is, you prayed about it. You know that there is somebody out there for you. Well, you can sit around watching television and waiting, or you might read a good book or two to help you to be a better husband. You might do some stuff. You might learn to cook a few meals, because it ain't just one person's job to be cooking at the house. And all the ladies said, yeah. Right? If you're believing God for a boat, why don't you take a boater safety course? Amen? Whatever it is that you're believing God for, take steps. Anticipation, expectation. If I'm expecting something to change, you know, when we've got three kids, when Sarah, when we went to the doctor and we found out she was pregnant the first time, we started buying diapers. We We started getting some stuff. We were thinking about clothes and things we'd put in the nursery. We were stocking up on different things that you might need if you were having a baby. Why? Because of expectation. What do they say when somebody is, you know, you can't hold the baby, you can't get that new baby smell, or that new old baby smell? You can't smell it, you can't hold it, you can't cradle it in your arms, but the doctor says you're expecting. Isn't that right? And so there's some anticipation. We do some things during that time. And as time is passing, if you've been believing God for something, you figure it out. Is it time that I'm preparing? Is the enemy holding something back here? But whatever it is, whatever is keeping me from receiving what it is, I'm going to stay in faith. Because the equation is believing, speaking, receiving. And inevitably, as the clock keeps ticking, the first place that you'll recognize that you're beginning to vacillate in faith, that I begin to vacillate, is in what I'm saying. Well, I guess it's not this way. I guess it's not going to come to pass. I was in the police academy. I thought I wanted to be a police officer. I didn't. I just thought I did. I was in the police academy and we were training and we were on the firing range one day and I kept shooting off from my target. And the range master said he was going to reload my gun, and he took my gun and he loaded it and he gave it back to me and he said, okay, get back on the line again. We're going to figure this out. And so I got back in the line, wide and slightly deep. That's pretty good, right, Brother Greg? I got on the line and I started shooting and I went, bam, I shot that first shot, bam, and then click, bam, click. And the range master said, I see what your problem is. He said, you're anticipating your recoil. And so you're pulling off. You know that the gun is going to kick, and so because you expect it to kick, you're moving your hand in anticipation of the recoil. Why? Because when you expect things, there's anticipation. So if you're believing God and you're expecting something, what are you doing in anticipation? What are we doing to prepare ourselves? Amen? We've got 5 minutes, folks. Praise the Lord. I love you guys. Act like you have what you've been believing for. What if your dream job was coming up and you hadn't prepared? I'll tell you one more story because I don't have time to get to the next point. But it's tears, I promise. When I was coming here, after all this time had elapsed where I'd been believing God that, you know, he had spoken this to me. And I'm not saying I stayed in faith the whole time. There was a time where I questioned maybe I didn't hear God. I felt like I knew how to hear the voice of God, but I was like, maybe I missed it. Maybe I've been having my family follow me everywhere that God has called us to in this in-between time in preparation, and I just missed it. Because it had been a long time, nearly 20 years. But before I came here, I decided that, I was like, you know what? It was at the end of, it was 2 years ago now, or a little over a year ago, December, anyway. Don't ask me to math it. So anyway, before I was coming here, I decided that at the end of the year, I had gotten my resume together and I had filled out an application. And every time I would try to send it, I just got a check and I couldn't do it. And so I didn't. But I'd been praying about it. And I'm like, Lord, I know you're in this. I finally told my wife, I said, at the end of the year, I said, come January 1, after the holiday, I'm sending in my resume, I'm sending in my application, and I'm going to tell them if there's anything, I was just getting frustrated, you know, just talking big. If there's anything that I can do there to be a help, I want to do it, and so here's my resume. But I had settled in my heart that I knew I was supposed to be here. So I filled out my application, I got my resume together, it was all ready to go. And the day before I sent it, someone reached out to me about an opportunity that was the ideal fit here. I hadn't sent it yet. But they said, hey, listen, as part of the process, we're going to need to get a resume and an application. And I said, no problem. I got you covered on both counts. Why? Because during that time, I did some things to prepare. And if tomorrow the answer to your prayer came, would you be ready for it when it got here? Have you done the things that are required for the thing that you've been believing for? And guess what? If you haven't, it's an easy fix. What would I do if I believed that I received when I prayed and I'm expecting that the things that God has promised me are coming to pass? What does that look like? It looks like expectation and anticipation. Amen? That's as far as we're going to be able to get tonight. Would you stand to your feet? Praise the Lord. I hope that helped us all. Glory to God. It helped me. If it didn't help you, I'm going to mark this because they may ask me to come back. And if they do, I hope you're here too. Praise the Lord. Here's what I want to do with you. Everybody's standing up now. I'm going to ask our connection team to come down. And here's what I want you to do. Maybe some time has been elapsing in your life, and maybe you've let go of some of those things that you know so many years ago, so many months ago, whatever it was, that God has spoken to you. And you've just let them go. But you know what? Just because a little time has passed doesn't mean you can't pick it back up. Isn't that right? Is God still the same? Is that word for you any less true? Well, then won't he do it? What I want you to do is just make a decision that tonight, if you're here and I'm speaking to you by saying that, if this resonated with you, I want you to come down and I want one of these folks, ladies, if you'll come to the ladies, men, if you'll come to the men, I want you to come down here, let them agree with you. Make this your day that you're going to keep the switch of faith turned on. Lord, from this point, I'm believing that I received that thing that you promised to me. I'm setting this. If this has to be the date, you write it on a notepad, you write it in your Bible, you put it down in your phone, make this the date. This is the day. No more vacillating. No more wavering. No more whatever comes. If time is elapsing, if the enemy is attacking, if people have been slow to respond, God, you're still faithful. And this is my day to receive. Would you do that? I'm going to pray a general prayer. We're going to close. And then if that's you, when everyone else is exiting, I'm going to ask you to come down here and pray with these people. Father God, anybody that's here tonight within the sound of my voice, maybe, Lord, time has elapsed and they haven't received the things, Lord, that they had in their heart, that they believe are from you. Tonight, they're making this their night to receive. They're doing a reboot, Lord. They're saying no more wavering, no more looking back, Lord, but they're looking unto you, the author and the finisher of their faith. Lord, tonight is their night to settle some things. And when they come down here and pray that prayer of agreement, Lord, I'm setting myself in agreement with them as well. If you've spoken a word to their heart, a rhema word for their future, Lord, for the plans that you have for them, for the needs in their life, then I'm setting myself in agreement with them that they'll receive those things. When they come down there and they pray that prayer of agreement, and Lord, they will see them come to pass. And you say this with me. If that's you, you say, I'll not waver and I'll not let it slip. Oh, we give you all the praise and all the glory for it, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you guys. Is there anything else, guys? Nothing else? All right. Be here on Sunday. We love you. Remember, if you need somebody to pray with you, you come down front this evening. God bless you. Have a good evening.